As you can tell from the title slide, we've got a lot to cover tonight. We won't be covering 100% of it in this amount of time. We'll hit highlights, and it's really not all the text. What we're going to be looking at is the law of God which Moses set before the people. We'll be looking at the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgment. This is in chapter 4, verse 44 through 49 that we're starting out with. Excuse me, testimony, statutes, and judgments. And I don't know if there's any great significance if you study those words, but when I read that, I thought the testimonies were what God gave Moses. He gave all these directly, but I think testimonies was what God's relationship with Moses when he's getting the Ten Commandments. And then the statutes were all the laws that kind of support that. And then they had some judgments later on. As things came up, Moses would inquire of the Lord and get some judgments from the Lord, which God intended to give to him as time went on and time progressed. But these were given to Israel after they came out of Egypt. Let's say, see chapter 5, verse 3. But these were given to Israel. These were new. These were not. This wasn't a covenant made with the fathers, with Abraham and his descendants, but with the people there now. So this is a law that applied to them. It doesn't go back and apply to the patriarchal age. It applies to the Mosaic age, which is what we call it. And the reason I bring that up is we're living under a different age, and these laws don't apply to us. We live under the Christian age. We've got a different set of laws. And when you look at the Ten Commandments, which we're about to do, nine of those were repeated by Christ that were to follow in the New Testament, but not all, not the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath. As we go through this, let's look for laws that will bring the people into proper relationship with God. And think about those, how they might apply to us. But also, look for laws that will regulate their conduct towards orderly and beneficial living. Now, this is the book of Deuteronomy, and I think I brought to you before you in another lesson. This is a repeat of a lot of the laws that are mentioned in Leviticus. And Leviticus was directed toward the Levites, the tribe of priests, that were to educate and administer the law. And we'll look at some of how they were supposed to do that as we go through here. Deuteronomy is directed more towards the people. It's right before they're about to go into the land. Within a little while, so it's directed not so much to the tribe of priests, but to everybody, all the people. So it's the second giving of the law, but with a little bit different focus. Chapter 5, don't look ahead. This will be kind of a review, see if y'all remember some of this. He reviews the Ten Commandments. He says, he's the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of slavery, and he relists the Ten Commandments. And the first one is, you shall have no other gods before me. And it's kind of, think as you go through here if you can remember them all. Do not make for yourselves an idol, any likeness of me, if anything, in heaven, above or on the earth, or in the waters below. You should not to bow down and worship them, because he's a jealous God. I don't remember what 3 is. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't finish 2. It has some more points. God punished the children of their sins for the fathers to the third and fourth generation, but showed love for 1,000 generations, those that love him and keep his commandments. So not take the name of your Lord your God in vain. He will not hold anyone guiltless who takes his name in vain. Think about how that applies today. 4 is, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. This is one we're not given in the New Testament, repeated to us. 6 days of labor, 7th day, and no work for anyone in your household, or your servants, so the whole household. 5, honor your father and mother that live long in the land. 6, shall not murder. 7, No. Commit adultery. Eight, steal. Nine is... Okay. Bear false witness against your neighbor. Shall not bear a false witness against your neighbor. And 10 is, shall not covet. The house, wife, manservant, maid servant, ox, donkey, or anything. So, I think how that applies to us today also. Well, those are covered in chapter 5. Right now, we've got a lot to cover. We're going to jump to chapter 7. So we're looking at statutes, testimonies, and judgments. So we're going to jump to chapter 7 and go through these. And I just picked out some verses about these topics that I wanted to bring out, and I don't know if I have time to get through them all. We'll try. But perhaps if you see something in your Bible that you want to bring up also, go ahead and share it with us. We'll be glad to. In chapter 7, verses 1 through 16, it talks about destroying the people and the idols that they find in the land when they come into the land. In verse 2, they were to conquer them. They were to utterly destroy them and make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. In verse 3, nor shall they make any marriages with them. Then in verse 6 was why, because they were a holy people, and they were to be a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. They were to be different. They were to be significantly different. So they were not to, they were to destroy the people and the idols in their land. Verse 9, therefore you know that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God. He'll keep his covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love and keep his commandments. And verse 11, that you keep the commandments and statutes and judgments. We're going to jump over to chapter 12 now. Verses 1 through 32. It talks about offering sacrifice in the place that God specifies. So they would have a special place to do sacrifices. Down in verse 5, you should seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place, and there you shall go. So God was going to prescribe for them a place where they were to worship. Verse 8, you shall not at all do as we are doing here today, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. So, think about how that applies to them. God was going to give them a place to worship, and they were to go to that place to worship and not do what they saw was right in their own eyes, as Moses, as they were doing at the time. So, verse 16 I highlighted. One thing they got that's carried over into the New Testament. You shall not eat the blood. You shall pour it on the earth like water. Verse 23, only be sure you do not eat the blood, for the blood is the life. You may not eat the life with the meat. You shall not eat it. You shall pour it on the earth like water. And verse 32, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it. Some of those I want to share with you. Put to death those who turn to idols, chapter 13, 1 through 28. Verse 3, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you. Know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandment and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. They were not to listen to any prophets or consent to them. They were to kill them verse 9, put him to death, stone him, and verse 10. To be a holy people, so do not pollute yourselves, chapter 14, verses 1 through 21. Verse 1, you shall not cut yourselves, nor shave the front of your head for the dead, something they weren't supposed to do. Starting in 3, it talks about what they could eat, the type of meat. Verse 6, and you may eat every animal with cloven hooves, having the hoof split into two parts, and it chews the cud among the animals. Verse 9, you may eat of all that are in the waters, you may eat all that have fins and scales. Verse 11, clean birds you could eat. And then talks some about what you could and couldn't eat. I won't go into the details of that. Verse 21, you should not eat anything that dies of itself. You may give it to the alien which is within your gates that he may eat it. Or you may sell it to a foreigner. If they weren't to eat anything that died of itself, it should be killed. Give your tithes to the Lord. 14:23-29. Verse 22. Tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. Verse 24. But if the journey is too long for you, they're traveling to carry their tithe, their increase in grain, the tenth of the grain. If it's too long for you that you're not able to carry the tithe, at the place where the Lord chooses is too far from them, they could exchange it for money and take the money and give that. Verse 27, you shall not forsake the Levite within your gates, because that was what that tithe was for, was to supply the Levites. They didn't have inherit land, so this tithe was to support the Levites. The seventh year. Chapter 15:1-18. At the end of every 7 years, you shall, verse 1, you shall grant a release of debts. Verse 3, of a foreigner you may require it, the debt, but of your brother you had to release the debt. Verse 6, for the Lord your God will bless you, just as he promised, you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. So if they were following the Lord, they wouldn't have to worry about their loans and getting their money back with their brothers, because the Lord was going to bless them. It's more like a gift than actually a loan. A foreigner, that was a different case. You could get your payment for that. And they would lend to many nations, but they weren't to borrow from many nations. And that's because God was going to be with them and would bless them. So, let's see. Verse 11, the poor will never cease from the land, therefore command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor and to your needy in your land. If your brother, a Hebrew man, verse 12, or a Hebrew woman is sold to you and serves you 6 years, then in the seventh year, you should let them go free from you. Y'all remember what that was called? That year was called the year of Jubilee. If you look real back, remember Jubal was one of the early descendants of Cain, I think, who played the... That's 50th year. I'm sorry. This is the seventh year. You're right. I'm sorry. This is just the seventh year thing that would be. Release debts. Year Jubilee is 50 years. Let's see. Set apart the firstborn, 19-23. All the firstborn males that came from your herd and your flock, you shall sanctify to the Lord your God. You shall do no work for the firstborn of your herd, nor shear the firstborn of your flock. So they were to be set aside. Verse 21, if there was a defect in it, if it's lame or blind or has any serious defect, you shall not sacrifice it to the Lord. It was a good, healthy animal. They weren't to work with it or shear it. It was dedicated to the Lord. All the firstborn, set apart the firstborn animals. Feast days in chapter 16. Of course, we had three major ones. The first one's talked about in the first verse there, on the month of Abib, keep the Passover to the Lord your God. Going along with that, in verse 3, eat no unleavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it. That is the bread of affliction, for you came out of the land of Israel in haste. Then in verse 9, you shall count 7 weeks for yourself. And you shall keep, verse 10, you shall keep the Feast of Weeks to the Lord your God. And what is that also known? What was that called in the New Testament? Pentecost. This was the 7 weeks after Passover. And then down in verse 13, to observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. So it was a week long feast also. So that's 16. We have 3 times a year the males would go to the feast. Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Weeks, and Feast of Tabernacles. So those are covered there. Remind them of the feasts they were to keep. Appoint judges in every town. Verse 18. You shall appoint judges and officers in all your gates. They were to do that. Well, they would have some of their leaders serve as judges, and we'll talk a little bit more about that with some of their judgments in a little bit in another section. So they will appoint judges. Stone the one who turns to idols, starting in 16:21. It says, you shall not plant for yourself any tree as a wooden image near the altar which you built for yourself, the Lord your God. You shall not set up a sacred pillar, because these were part of idol worship. Verse 3, they weren't to worship, serve gods and worship them, either the sun or moon or any host of heaven, which I have not commanded. So, astrology was out of the question. If they found somebody doing this, in verse 5, they shall stone to death that man or woman. Stones. And for witnesses, the hands of the witnesses shall be the first against him to put them to death, and afterwards the hands of all the people. So they were to put evil away from them. Bring a difficult case to the priest. So if the judges had a difficult case, they were to elevate it. That's verse 8. If a matter arises which is too hard for you to judge, verse 9, to come to the priests, the Levites, and to the judge there in those days, and inquire of them, they shall pronounce upon you the sentence of judgment. So they were teachers, but they also served as the next level of a judgment besides the people's court, I guess you'd say. It went to the priests next, and they were to judge. In verse 12, now the man who acts presumptuously and will not heed the priest, he stands to minister there before the Lord your God or the judge, that man shall die. So the priest's judgment was binding. Instructions for kings. And you'll see almost some prophecies here of what was going to happen in the study of the United Kingdom and the Divided Kingdom. Verse 14, when you come into the land which your Lord your God has given and possess it, dwell in it, and say, I will set a king over me like all nations that are around me. So they did that, of course, with Saul. But they were to set a king over you whom the Lord the God was chosen. He did that with Saul, David, Solomon. Verse 16, he shall not multiply horses for himself. And they did that with Solomon. They jumped stables of horses. Verse 17, neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away. I don't see a prophecy there. Wise as Solomon was, he didn't have to go back very far to read to see the warnings of Moses. It's kind of unreal. It's almost sad how that turned out. And y'all will study that more in a couple more quarters. Offerings for priests and Levites, 18:1-8. Let's see. Verse 1, they shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire in his portion. So the offerings that were coming, that were given to the Lord, the priests could have portions of that. Verse 3, and this shall be the priest's due from the people, from those who offer sacrifice, whether it is a bull or sheep, they shall give to the priest the shoulder, the cheeks, and the stomach. The first fruit of your grain, and your new wine, and your oil, and the first of the fleece of your sheep you shall give them. So that was dedicated to the Lord, that the priests got it for their necessity. Then engage in detestable practices. Verse 10, there shall not be found among you anyone who makes a son or his daughter pass through the fire, the one who practices witchcraft, or soothsayer, the one who interprets omens, or sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritualist, or one who calls up the dead. And y'all will hear a story later on about Saul doing just there it was forbidden. God will raise up a prophet, 15 through 25. Verse 18, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and he will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. There's a prophet test, so to speak. Verse 21, and if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. So, it is to come to pass. The prophet prophesied. We talked a little bit about the cities of refuge before. Verse 2, shall separate three cities for yourselves in the midst of your land, which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Now, how many cities of refuge are there? There's six, but it says three here, because, and I'll cover that in just a minute. Verse 4, and this is the case of the manslayer flees there that he may live, is what it was for. Verse 8, now, if the Lord your God enlarges your territory, as he swore to your fathers, and gives you the land which he promised to give to your fathers, and if you keep these commandments, last part of verse 9, then you shall add three more cities for yourselves besides these three. So they had three on the east side of the Jordan River already set up. And if they did what they're supposed to, go and conquer the land, they were going to get three more. There's six. And we'll talk about those in a couple of lessons. Boundary markers. Verse 14, you shall not remove your neighbor's landmark, which the men of old have set. So they weren't to move boundaries once the land was given to them. They would leave the lines alone, not move them. Witnesses, 15 through 21. One witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits by the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter will be established. So, if it's one against one, it's just, you know, my word against his word. Kind of thing. So, we had to have two or more witnesses. Verse 16, if a false witness rises against any man to testify against him of wrongdoing, verse 19, then you shall do to him as he thought to have done to his brother. So he would be punished in his stead if he was a false witness. Verse 21, your eye shall not pity, life shall be for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. We hear that repeated later on in scripture. Rules for going to war. Chapter 20, verse 1, when you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you. Verse 2, so it shall be when you are on the verge of battle that the priest shall approach and speak to the people. Verses 5 through 8 covers some excuses for them, for men not having to go to war. Verse 5 talks about if you just build a new house and not dedicated it. Verse 6, if you planted a vineyard and not eaten of it. Verse 7, if you betrothed to a woman and has not married her. And verse 8, if he's fearful and faint-hearted. Not everybody's cut out for warfare. Let's see. Verse 10, when you go near a city to fight against it, then proclaim an offer of peace to it. Now, this was for foreign cities. This wasn't for the cities in Canaan they were to take over. That's in verse 15. Thus you shall do to all the cities which are very far from you, which are not of the cities of these nations. But the cities of these peoples, which the Lord your God gives you as inheritance, you shall let nothing that breathes remain alive. Get off of peace to a foreign city, but the city in Canaan, it'll wipe out. Let's see. Verse 19, when you besiege the city, thought this was interesting. You shall not destroy its trees by whetting an axe against them if you can eat of them. You want to cut them down to use them in the siege because they provided food. Only trees which were not for food, could be cut down and used in the siege. An unsolved murder, 21:1-9. If anyone's found slain, it's not known who killed him, verse 1. It shall be that the elders of the city nearest to the slain man, verse 3, slain man, will take a heifer, which has not been worked and which is not pulled with a yoke, so it will be offered. Verse 7, and they shall offer as an atonement. They shall answer, verse 7, saying, our hands have not shed this blood, nor have our eyes seen it. So this is somebody that's just found murdered. Nobody knows why. Verse 8, they provide atonement, O Lord, for your people Israel, whom you have redeemed, and do not lay innocent blood to the charge of your people Israel. And atonement shall be provided on their behalf for the blood. So they would offer a bull for that person that was found dead if they didn't know how he was killed, but did not have the Lord place blame on those nearby. They offered a bull for atonement for that loss of that life. Marrying a captive woman, covered in 10:2-14. Now these were female captives of foreign cities. Now, the cities in Canaan, there was nobody to marry, so they were to kill them all. But if they saw a captive was a beautiful woman, verse 11, and desired to take her for a wife, they could bring her home. She was to shave her head and trim her nails, put off clothes of her captivity and remain in the house. And she was to mourn for her father and her mother full month. And they could marry her. In verse 14, it shall be, if you have no delight in her, then you shall set her free. But you can't sell her for money. She's set free. Right of the firstborn, 15-17. Man has two wives, one loved and the other unloved, and they have born him children. If the firstborn son is of her who is unloved, verse 16, he must bestow firstborn status on the son of the loved wife. He must not bestow firstborn status on the son of the loved wife in preference to the son of the unloved, the true firstborn. So, the man married had two wives, and one woman was loved as much as the other, and the unloved one had a child. That one maintained the firstborn status. He couldn't change that because he had a wife he liked better. So. Rebellious son, latter part of that, when they have chastened him and he doesn't heed them, then his father, verse 19, his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gate. And verse 21, and all the men of the city shall stone him to death. Goes back to honor about father and mother. bury the criminal, 22 through 23. If a man has committed a sin deserving of death and is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, he wasn't to remain there overnight on the tree. They were to bury him that day. That's why they had to get Jesus off the cross that day. Fulfill this law. Be considerate of your neighbor's possessions. Chapter 22, you shall not see your brother's ox or his sheep going astray, and hide yourself from them. You bring them back to your brother. So if you see somebody's animal wandering off, you want to hide it and sneak it off as your own. You take it back to your brother. Verse 2, if your brother is not near you, or if you do not know him, then you shall bring it into your own house. It shall remain with you until your brother seeks it, and you shall restore it to him. So that they found an animal that was lost, they were to keep it as their own until somebody came looking for it. And they were to get word out, I found this lost animal, and try to get it back to its rightful owner. They weren't to try to, they wouldn't finders, keepers, losers, weepers. That's not how it's supposed to be. They just try to get everything they could do to get things back to their owners. Verse 3, do the same with his donkey, do with his garment. With any lost thing of your brothers. Inappropriate conduct. Verse 5, a woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment. Down in verse 9, you shall not sow your vineyard with the different kinds of seeds. Verse 10, you couldn't plow with an ox and a donkey together. They wouldn't pull the same. And verse 11, the garments were not to be mixed with wool and linen together. Some things there. I show consideration back up to 6 and 8. And I thought this was kind of neat. If a bird's nest happens to be before you along the way, in any tree or on the ground, and the young one, with young ones or eggs, with the mother sitting on the young or on the eggs, you shall not take the mother with the young. You shall surely let the mother go and take the young for yourself. So let's, we want to take the whole mother and the eggs. Verse 8, you build a new house, so you shall make a parapet for your roof, and that's for safety, so that people wouldn't fall off of it. You build a wall around your roof. People from falling. That's consideration. Verse 22 was, we talked about this briefly a long time ago. It's called up one of our earlier lessons. They were to make tassels on the four corners of the clothing with which they were covered, so they were to wear these tassels. Accusations of unchastity. Verse 13, if any man takes a wife and goes into her and detests her, and claims in verse 14, latter part, that she was not a virgin. The next few verses talk about how they prove it, that if they could prove that she was a virgin. I won't go into details of that. I'll let you read it. And the man was just using this as an excuse to put her away. Then they were, at verse 18, they were to punish that man, the elders of the city. And she was to be his wife, and he couldn't divorce her. Made that claim that proved false. If the thing is true about her virginity, she was not a virgin, and evidence of virginity were not found, verse 21, the middle of the verse, they would have stoned her to death. So it was regarding adultery. Verse 22, if a man's found lying with a woman married to a husband, then both of them shall die. Verse 23, if a young woman who is a virgin is betrothed to a husband and a man finds her in the city and lies with her, she was to be stoned them to death with stones, the young woman, because she did not cry out in the city, and the man because he humbled his neighbor's wife. But if a man finds a betrothed young woman in the countryside, and a man forces her and lies with her, then only the man who lay with her shall die. And verse 27 says, while the woman didn't have to die because she cried out, there's no one there to save her. So in the countryside, it's a bit different. Verse 28, a man finds a young woman who is a virgin who is not betrothed. Just give the young woman's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall become his wife, because he has humbled her. He shall not be permitted to divorce her all the days of his life. A man shall not take his father's wife or uncover his father's bed. It really is regarding who can be a part of the assembly of Israel. Chapter 1, a person that was emasculated by crushing or mutilation couldn't assemble. One of illegitimate birth couldn't assemble, enter the assembly of the Lord. Verse 3, an Ammonite, a Moabite, shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. If he's in the last few lessons, you know why, but verse 4, because they did not, the Ammonites and Moabites did not meet you with bread and water on the road when you came out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam, son of Beor, to curse you. Verse 7, you shall not abhor an Edomite, for he is your brother. You shall not abhor an Egyptian, because you are an alien in his land. The children of the third generation born to them may enter the assembly. So it had to be the third generation down of the Edomite and Egyptian that actually go into the assembly of the Lord. Cleanliness in the camp. Verse 9, when army goes out against your enemies, keep yourself from things wicked. It gives some instructions. I won't go into the details of it, of how they were to not soil the camp with excrement. They were to go outside the camp to use the bathroom and bury it. Let y'all read that. A runaway slave, verse 15 and 16. He shall not give back to his master the slave who has escaped from his master to you. He shall dwell in your house. So they were to harbor escaped slaves, because they were slaves at one time. The harbor escaped, the slaves that escaped. I hope it's going to be foreign slaves. Temple prostitutes, 17 and 18. There should be no ritual harlot. Like the ones that perverted the sons of Israel. They weren't to bring the wages of the harlot or the price of a dog. The dog was not a clean animal to be offered, so they weren't to try to offer that. Interest on loans. Verse 19, you shall not charge interest to your brother. 20, to the foreigner, you could charge interest. Vows, 21 through 23, when you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it. So, you get on it. Do what you said you was going to do. Verse 23, that which has gone out from your lips, you shall keep and perform, for you voluntarily vow to the Lord your God with your promise with your mouth. He writes, in your neighbor's field, 24 and 25, when you come into your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat, you may fill of grapes at your pleasure, but you shall not put any in your container. When you go through their fields, verse 25, you could pluck the heads with your hand, but you couldn't use a sickle and cut down his grain for yourself. Think about Jesus and his disciples going through the field plucking grain. They were following the law. Remarrying a woman who is put away. 24 verse 1. Found some uncleanness her, and he writes her certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, sends her out of his house. And she leaves and goes and becomes another man's wife. If the later husband detests her and writes her certificate of divorce, or the latter husband dies, then the former husband who divorced her can't take her back. There's one way to deal. Exempt from war. When a man has taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war. He shall be free to stay at home for 1 year and bring happiness to his wife. Securities for loans. No man shall take a lower or upper millstone for the pledge. That's how people would grind meal to make their living. skip verse 10. When you lend your brother, you should not go into his house to get his place, but stand outside. And I knew he was going to run out of time. Lots to cover. I want to finish with, and it's just the rest of 24, 25, and 26. I invite y'all to read those. Got a lot of good stuff in there. And I know it's just too much to cover. But I did want to jump down to chapter 26, verse 16, and finish with this. These are the vows. This is a vow between the Israelite people and God. Verse 17. Today you have proclaimed to the Lord to be your God, and that you will walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commandments, and his judgments, and that you will obey his voice. So that was the Israelites' vow. The Lord's vow. Today the Lord has proclaimed to you to be his special people, just as he promised you, that you should keep all his commandments, and he will set you high above all nations which he has made in praise and name and in honor, that you may be a holy people to the Lord your God, just as he has spoken. So it's a vow. God will keep his vow. And he's working to keep it on us.